Welcome to Church Online, a special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn, I'm the minister at Adelaide West, and it's a privilege to be with you today to worship together, to reflect on God's presence in all circumstances, to be in prayer together, and hopefully to help make some sense of this world and in our lives. It's the fifth Sunday of the month where we look at where we find God at work in our everyday lives. I'll be sharing on my recent COVID journey, and Craig Schultz Flaholius will bring us a reflection on the Bible passage in the lectionary today. Although I'm now out of isolation after COVID, I'm easing back gently, and so this is filmed on my mobile once again, although thankfully back in the studio, one of the offices at the church. Last week, we were at the manse and we had to improvise quite a bit, including an ironing board as a stand for my iPad and a pile of books for the candle and plants. So it's good to be back in the studio once again. Sadly, Jenny Tremelling has passed away. Jenny was a member of Adelaide West and before that, Brooklyn Park Uniting Church and Brooklyn Park Methodist. And she was there for about 48 years. She lived out her faith, was an amazing pastoral carer to so many, and was much loved and valued by us. Her funeral was yesterday here at Adelaide West, and we pray for her husband, Alan, and all their family at this time. We light a candle as a visible reminder that God is present as we meet. And not only as we meet, but present in all circumstances in our lives. Together we sing, "There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea."
Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 21 to 30. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, do hear in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
One of the questions we ask ourselves is, where do we find God at work in our everyday lives, at home, at work, in our volunteering, in our families? Where do you see God at work in your life? Today we're doing this a little differently. As you are aware, or some of you are aware, I recently tested positive to COVID-19. And after 10 days in isolation, I'm now free to be able to go out of the house again. I started a bit of a journal on Facebook. Thought I might do a couple of journals, but then something happened. As I shared my experiences, people started to join me and to interact. Somehow it became a thing, a way for me to process what was happening. And people started to share their stories. In each of the posts, I wrote a reflection, how we were going with COVID and what I was thankful for. It's around 4,000 words, so I can't share it all here. If you'd like a copy, contact us and we'll email it to you. And it includes my personal thoughts for a prepared for COVID kit, like a bushfire plan. But this is a plan more likely to be used as more and more people contract COVID. I started it as we seem a bit shy, a bit quiet about our COVID stories. Initially, I tested positive, but Craig, my husband, was negative. Our daughter from Sydney was with us and she tested positive. So we set up a COVID section at the house, 2 bedrooms and a bathroom at the back of the manse. We had a kettle in the bathroom so we could make our own tea and snacks and a food station on an ironing board. It was hard wearing a mask in your own home. It was hard not being able to turn on a light switch, open a door, use the coffee machine, or prepare food. After a couple of days, Craig tested positive. Suddenly, life was so much easier as a fully COVID house rather than a mixed one. Masks came off. I felt so free. I opened the fridge by myself and I washed the dishes. Washing the dishes had never felt so good. A friend posted on one of my posts, "Thank you for sharing your journey through this. I didn't because I was felt ashamed." You know, my friend is not the only one feeling this way. So why do we stigmatize this so much? So we tackled the stigma of COVID. I shared how we stigmatize something that we fear. So we fear the unknown and we fear someone who has COVID. We play the blame game. As soon as we hear someone has COVID, we ask who they caught it from. Does it matter? Our language doesn't help. We refer to people as cases and talk about infecting others. And if we contract COVID, we can feel shame. Perhaps I didn't wash my hands enough. Or if we feel we've passed it on to others at home or work, at church or anywhere. Or we feel shame for the inconvenience of it all, for our workplace, family, church or community group. But the reality is that COVID is easy to catch and easy to pass on. It's like the world has COVID and many of us have caught it or will catch it. Anyone can contract COVID. Together we can help to stop the spread of stigma. We do this by spreading facts, not fear, using positive words whenever we can, not playing the blame game. We're all in this together. Our normal of the past is no longer. We are creating a new normal, and I hope our new normal is kinder, where people look out for each other, where more care is shown for the vulnerable, that we will see life as all in this together. In my journaling every day, I wrote what I was thankful for. We know that gratitude is helpful for our well-being, and I could feel that so tangibly as I thought intentionally each day what I was thankful. It made a difference. It reminds me of the Psalms, where so often the psalmist has all these concerns and circumstances, but at the end of the psalm, offers thanks to God. I express thanks for friends bringing us coffees, shopping, bread, ice cream on a hot day, donuts, homemade biscuits and muffins, some meals, fish, and so much more. The weather allowing us to sit outside, sunshine, a spider in the garden making a web in the same place each night, a sunset we could see from our place, green grass after the rain, the frangipani flowering, sunflowers in the front garden, air conditioning when it was hot, butter menthols, pineapple juice and aloe vera tissues, daily texts from SA Health, a text from Red Cross checking in, for all working or volunteering to care and help people in these strange times, being still and not rushing around, church online and attending church in person by FaceTime, kindness, togetherness, humour, connections, support by calls, messages and cards, sharing stories, hearing stories of others and journeying together. Most of all, I was thankful for God's presence. Through the presence of others and in the stillness, God is present all the time. When we are going through sickness, when we are rejected by others or misunderstood, like in our Bible reading today, thankful for God's presence that never leaves us. You know, the COVID journey continues. We all know people who have it, or we have it, or have had it. We're all in this together. In it together in the presence of God. I'm thankful that God is with us in this pandemic, and that I can see God at work in my life and in this pandemic. Where do you see God at work in your life? What are you thankful for today?
Today's lectionary reading finds Jesus teaching in the synagogue in Nazareth. On this day, Jesus stands up to do the reading and is handed a scroll of the Old Testament book Isaiah. Amongst several of the prophets, and in particular Isaiah, there are predictions of a coming time where a new king from the family of King David would arise in Israel to restore her. This new king would bring prosperity, wealth, and international power. This king would make Israel a superpower. At least, that is how some people in Jesus' time read those predictions. The audience in the synagogue evidently held this belief about the coming Messiah, and the audience in the synagogue obviously considered this to be one of those predictions, because after Jesus finished reading it, and more importantly, after Jesus proclaimed that today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, the audience are impressed with the graciousness of Jesus' speech and ask, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" This question appears not to be one of doubt because of what Jesus says next. That famously cryptic line, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, doctor, cure thyself." The people, still seeing what Jesus earlier taught us as a sign that Israel was about to be renewed and that Jesus was the long-awaited king from David's family, see an opportunity. After all, who would not try and get in the good books with the new king and try to get their hands on some of that promised prosperity before everyone else? I've lived in several small towns in regional Australia to which Nazareth is similar. And it is amazing to see how quickly people attach themselves to someone who has made it big in the big city. So what Jesus means by the phrase, "Doctor, cure thyself," is that the people of Nazareth are hoping for some good old-fashioned nepotism, that Jesus will share the good stuff with them first. "Doctor, cure thyself" is another way of saying, look after those who are close to you first. Look to your own people and sort us out first. The people of Nazareth believe in Jesus. They believe that he is the long-awaited king of Israel predicted in the prophets. But their understanding of Jesus' kingship is polluted by their own political and religious ideology, rather than following the heart of God for the poor, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed. There is an irony in what Jesus says to the people of Nazareth, because what the people of Nazareth have missed is that Jesus is the great physician. In the synagogue, Jesus has revealed that he is among them to heal the sick, help the poor, and set free people who are oppressed. No doubt the people of Nazareth included all of those people. It was a regional town, away from the centre of the nation, a nation occupied by foreign powers. And we know from Jesus' life story in the Gospels, there are plenty of sick everywhere Jesus goes. But they are a people too bound up in their own vision of how the world should be, how they should prosper, how their own people should get in first. And the result? Jesus tells them that pretty much everyone will be blessed before them, and he reminds them that the prophets in the past went to the Gentiles as much as to the people of Israel. Jesus' mission is much bigger than showering a small town in wealth and success. Jesus is God revealed. Jesus is God revealed as the great healer of our broken relationship with God. Jesus is the great healer of our lives as he shows us our true purpose in life, to enjoy relationship with God and to dwell with God forever. Quite often in our own time, people have tried to co-opt the glorious good news of Jesus for their own political and religious ends. I don't even need to cite examples, because I'm sure that each and every one of you has had someone try to motivate you to act on the behalf of some cause by citing Jesus. The message that comes to us from the Nazareth synagogue is a simple one. Be suspicious of anyone who reduces the mission of Jesus, the great healer, to some kind of religious or political cause. Don't believe anyone who presents you a Jesus whose mission is anything less than saving the whole world, healing the sick, caring for the poor, setting free the oppressed, and, most important of all, restoring you to right relationship with God, your Maker, so that you might have a purposeful life together with God. And be suspicious of any motive to follow Jesus other than because he is the Saviour of the whole world, not just me and my aspirations. And most important of all, pray to Jesus, the great physician, for the things that are close to his heart, all people.
Trial or pain, there is a faith proved of more worth than gold, so refine me, Lord, through the flame. I will bring praise, I will bring praise, no weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and he is here. When triumph is still on its way, I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ, so firm on his promise I'll stand. I will bring praise, I will bring praise, no weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and he is here. Of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing, I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing, I have a reason to worship. I will declare God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the harvest when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received I will sow.
And now we come to our time of prayer and prayer for others, so let us pray. Lord of heaven and God of grace, search within us through and through and fertilize the soil of our hearts. Bring a harvest of your Spirit's fruits. Reap a bounty of patient love that takes its time to listen when others would rush by. Help us not to get irritated with others when we feel they don't understand and hold us back from what we want. Grow within us an excitement for the truth and a sense of how to do right when we see wrong. Deepen the roots of our faith as we draw life from you. Strengthen the branches of our hope that reach up in praise towards your Son, and bring forth such love as to be the envy of the world. We thank you for all that you have benefited us with: food, shelter, fresh water, education, healthcare, and more. We pray that you would take our gifts and our offerings this morning, whether it be time, money, gifts of our abilities, or food to share. They are a physical sign of our gratitude. Take them and use them to further your work in this world. And we bring our prayers for this world before you, asking that your will would be realized here on earth as it is in your presence. We pray for the people of the Ukraine and for the leaders of Russia, the United States, China, and NATO. May cooler heads prevail, and may the lives of the citizens of the world matter more than political ambitions. We also pray for Tonga as they deal with the aftermath of the eruption. Provide them with clean water, with food and sanitation, and communications with the outside world. We thank you for the aid that has arrived and ask that it reaches the people who need it. And we bring these prayers to you, Holy Father, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, together with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Bless
strength is faith. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my voice will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that there's something that has encouraged you and given hope. We continue to bring our giving to God, both financial and practical, and pray that they will be used to bring hope where there is no hope. If you would like prayer, either send us an email or press the prayer button if you're watching live. We would love to pray with you. This week, consider the question, where do you see God at work in your life? And what are you thankful for today? May the grace and the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love and presence of God and the fellowship, unity and friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you in all circumstances, surround you today, carry you in the week ahead and remain with you always. Amen. Blessings on your week.
I will sing praise, no weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received I will sow.